Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. When I was just a boy, I was a member of the Boy Scouts of America. The motto of that organization was, Be Prepared. Is it any less true of being a Christian? There are many things for which the Christian must be prepared. Many golden opportunities are lost because of the lack of adequate and proper preparation. Business advantages are lost, battles are lost, lives are lost. Recently I read of an airman who lost his life because he failed to properly prepare his parachute. He was unprepared for the emergency. The very emphasis of education is preparedness. The young need to be encouraged to prepare themselves for life, for marriage, for jobs, and for service. The Jewish people taught their children a trade, and Jesus was a carpenter. How many social and financial problems could be avoided if people would prepare themselves for what they have to do? Man's greatest need is for the soul to be prepared to meet God. Without this, we will be lost eternally in hell. There are certain inevitable events before every one of us. Hebrews 9:27 says, And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Not only are there certain inevitables before us, we cannot render the service to God that we must without effective and efficient preparation. Heaven has been called a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:1-3. We desire heaven, but we must prepare ourselves for it if we are going to get there. It is doubtful that some would enjoy heaven even if they were permitted to go there. Their lives and their aims and their ambitions and their goals and their habits, they're not in tune with heaven. Their joys and their pleasure and their actions show that they're not ready for heaven. Some would be bored and dissatisfied and disappointed if they went to heaven. The goal of life, however, is to prepare oneself to be a fit inhabitant for heaven. And even with all that we can do, we still rely on the grace of God to enter therein. Life is but a vapor and a short period of existence. We should not live it as if it will never end here on this earth, or that this life on earth is all that there is to be lived. It is useless to spend our time grasping and possessing and seeking the vain, empty things that are useless and miss heaven. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yes, heaven is a prepared place, but so is hell. Matthew 25:41 tells us, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. The probing question that should concern us is, for which destiny are we preparing? Now, preparation is an oft-repeated biblical concept. It was so important for Noah to prepare for the coming of the flood. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says, By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Friend, what if Noah had waited until the rain started before he got ready? God prepared Moses for his great task of leading Israel out of bondage. Earlier in his life, Moses presumptuously took matters into his own hands and rushed the situation somewhat, but he was not prepared to deliver Israel then. It was 40 years later before God called him from the burning bush to assume the guidance of Israel. 2/3 of the life of Moses was spent in preparing him for the major task of his life. And during those 80 years, he learned leadership and patience. He learned loneliness, but steadfastness and courage. He learned endurance, but he learned faith in God. He could never have made it without good preparation. Israel had to make preparations for leaving Egypt. In fact, detailed instructions were given them regarding the Passover lamb and how to eat the food and many other matters. What if some had been so foolish as to ignore the need to prepare? Did not Joseph prepare Egypt for the 7 years of famine that was to follow the 7 years of plenty? Warehouses were built and grain was stored. What if that had been neglected? There were preparations made for the initial coming of Christ. John the Baptist had the mission to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The prophecy of Isaiah had reference to the work of John and was quoted in Matthew 3:3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight." Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work." Titus 3 and verse 1. If repetition has the power to emphasize, then we can see how Scripture emphasizes the virtue of being prepared. And only those who are prepared can do the work God has for man to do. Paul could do his task because he was ready. "So much as in me is," he said, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also." Romans 1:15. Peter taught readiness. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. The five foolish virgins were called foolish in Matthew 25 because they did not make adequate preparation for the coming of the bridegroom. Now we can deceive ourselves into thinking we are prepared when actually we are not. Such was the experience of Peter just prior to the death of Christ. He had confessed, "Lord, with thee I am ready to go to prison or to death." And he meant that. And yet he denied Christ 3 times in a matter of a few hours from his confession. He was not as prepared for what he encountered as he thought he was. Paul warned, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. My dear listening friend, are you ready to meet your Lord in judgment just as you are right now? We may be called to do that very thing. Life is not promised beyond this moment, and that is soon gone. Have you made the necessary preparations for death and the resurrection and the judgment? Now, Paul said he was ready. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. He was ready because he was in Christ. He had served faithfully and had put his confidence in the Lord. What must be done to get ready to meet God? In Ephesians 6 and verse 15, Paul speaks of the preparation of the gospel of peace. The preparation that we must make has to do with the gospel. We must hear it, believe it, obey it, and live it faithfully. Faith in Christ, John 8:24. Repentance of sins, Luke 13:3. Confession of our faith, Romans 10:9 and 10. And baptism into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38 and Galatians 3:27. Now that's the way we begin our preparation. We continue preparing all the days of our lives as we live and labor in God's vineyard as He directs us through His all-sufficient and inspired Word, the Bible. And we should never cease to walk in the light as He is in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7. There's a great day coming when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. There's a bright day coming, but its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. There's a sad day coming, when the sinner shall hear his doom, "Depart, I know you not." Are you ready for that day to come? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.